You're listening to the Decluttered Mom Podcast, a podcast built specifically for busy moms by a busy mom. I'm your host, Diana Renee. And in 2017, I had my second daughter, and it felt like I was literally drowning in my home. Okay, not literally, but I felt like I couldn't breathe with all of the stuff surrounding me. Over the next 10 months, I got rid of approximately 70% of our household belongings, and I have never looked back. I kind of feel like I hacked the mom system, and I'm here to share all the tips, tricks, and encouragement. Let's listen to today's show. I'm excited for this episode of the Decluttered Mom Podcast because I have Delancey here who, please tell me I said your name correct.
It is.
Okay. Perfect. She's a friend from Instagram, and it's like, they're not in real life person friends. So you have this idea of what their name is and how you pronounce it.
I have I used to be Delancey Dantzler, and people thought it was like a stage name. And so I answer to anything. But yeah, it is Delancey.
That's awesome. So Delancey is all about relatable DIY. And I found her a couple years ago now when she blew up on Instagram, seemingly overnight with like this reel that went super viral. Delancey, can you tell us that story?
It was so crazy. I'd just been to this conference and this girl was talking about how she had done a get to know me reel, just like, this is my kind of life. And she had blown up. And so all of us left that conference and we were all like, okay, we're going to make this reel. And so I made the reel. And it was just about like, hey, I have a regular house. I'm a regular mom. Like, I've got kiddos. Like, but I want to make my house. Like, I want to teach you how to make your house into your dream house. And so I posted that reel. And then my husband had, it was our anniversary. We had booked a cruise for the first time. We were going on a cruise. We were so excited. And as we're on this cruise, suddenly my numbers start skyrocketing. My husband thought I had been hacked. Like, he thought I had all this malware. Like, it was getting, I think it was almost 500,000 followers in days. It was something ridiculous that like my husband didn't believe it at first. And then like Good Morning America was like, hi, we'd like to interview you for our digital Good Morning America. And I'm like, me?
Yes.
Like normal me? So yeah, it was kind of crazy. And because I've been sharing DIYs online for years.
Yeah.
I mean, for years and years, and nobody cared. I've got some followers that have been with me since, you know, the beginning when I was doing these like $20 little things, because that's all the money I had.
Yeah.
My house was the $20. So it's just interesting. I didn't set out to be like an influencer. I just wanted to share what I was doing and learn from other people, because a lot of times the people in your life that are like right beside you, maybe they're not doing the exact same thing, but there is this huge community of women who want to get their hands dirty, who want to learn how to tile, who want to learn how to switch out their light switches. And the internet lets us come together, which I love.
Yeah, I love that too. It's so fun. And I like joke that I don't have like a handy bone in my body because I've tried things and it just doesn't turn out well. So I will watch your videos sometimes and I'll hype myself up and like go to Lowe's and I'm like, I'm probably going to get injured if I try this.
We'll FaceTime next time and I'll walk you through how to do whatever. But perfect. I think the thing too is that like some people want to jump into, you know, gutting a bathroom and you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa,
yeah.
Let's make over a piece of furniture. Right. Like because you do have to build the skills. And I think a lot of people, which, you know, I'm guilty of this in other areas of life. You want to be amazing at something the first time you do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is just not life. That's just not life. And so when people see my videos, they're like, how on earth did you learn how to do that? I'm like, I watched YouTube tutorials, but trial and error is how you learn stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's why you start with making a piece of furniture. And if you mess it up, you donate and you get another new piece of furniture, or you buy extra wood because you're going to cut some of the wood wrong. So you buy extra, you know, like the trial and error is really how we learn things.
Yeah, that makes sense. We moved like a year and a half ago, and in our old house, we had a water leak. So it went under all the cabinets and the flooring in our kitchen. So we had to gut it. And then it was early 2022. So like,
it was impossible to find contractors, and, you know, cabinets were backordered forever. Yeah. And I like was asking everyone in my Instagram audience for ideas for design. So like, should I do this countertop or this countertop? Because I'm not great with that. And I love getting feedback, but of course it's always like 50-50. It was like literally every poll was 50-50. But the amount of DMs I had that told me like I can tile, like do the backsplash myself. And I was like, you guys, I like, this is not the project to start with, like the main focal point of the home.
And I think that's fine too, because a lot of things, you know, like I'll hire an electrician to come because I didn't want to climb in the attic. Can I climb in the attic?
Right.
Can I rewire something? Sure. But I hired an electrician. Like, so I think that's the thing. And that's what's so freeing about DIY is you don't have to. You don't have to do anything. Like you, if you want to,
right,
you can tile your backsplash. But if you don't want to, you don't have to.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay. So how did you get into DIY? Like what made you start exploring this, or is it something you've always done?
Well, we, when we first got married, which was almost 12 years ago, we had no money. We had $0. And so I was trying to decorate our house on like a negative budget, basically.
Okay.
Everything was Goodwill furniture and like what I could, you know, make it over. We, when we were dating, I convinced my husband that we were going to reupholster his couch. I was like, how hard could it be to reupholster a couch? It was not great. Yeah. I mean, it looked better than it did before.
Yeah.
So, I think the frugalness of my, you know, the way I grew up, like I wanted to see what I could make for basically nothing.
Okay.
And so that kind of turned into making over furniture and then painting and that kind of thing. And then it was suddenly like, oh, actually, you can, you know, if this part of the wall looks weird, let's learn how to tile, let's learn how to, and then it kind of just kind of ballooned more and more and more. Into, I think people also don't realize that your house is basically, especially here in America, just sticks. It's just sticks.
Yeah.
Paper board holding the sticks together.
That's comforting,
and,
right?
Like, wires and plumbing. Like it's so, like when you start opening up a wall and you're like, huh, this is all that's in my walls. Okay. I get comments so many times from like people in Europe and they're like, are your, all of your walls just empty? And I'm like, I mean, our exterior walls hopefully have some sort of insulation, but yeah, right. Most of our inside walls are just empty.
Yeah.
So I think people all overestimate how well their house is built. And also, like, I think sometimes people, I try to encourage people to reverse engineer how their house was built. So like, let's say you wanted to switch out a faucet. If you have no idea how to switch out a faucet, it sounds very hard. Right. You're like, oh, I wonder if I'm going to switch out a faucet. The water is coming in. I have to turn off water at the street. But then I have to, I want to be like, okay, think about how your house was built. Your house wasn't built with faucets, right?
Yeah.
Like it, there has to be some sort of something in your bathroom to pause the water so that then the builders could add the vanity, then the builders could add it, and then they could hook it up. And I think when you like deconstruct your house almost in that kind of way, it becomes less scary because you're like, these builders did it. These builders who may or may not have had a college education, may have not had a high school education, like they figured it out. And I think it's freeing in a way. But also it just goes back to the trial and error. I hate plumbing. Plumbing is my most hated thing because I always have the wrong size of whatever pipe or whatever connector it is. So I, my rule is I can only start a plumbing job when Home Depot is open.
Yeah.
I'm going to go there. It's an average of 4 times per plumbing project.
Yeah.
There's so many little, and you're like, I just need this one. And you have to go back. So you have to be comfortable with keeping going back. But even contractors are at Home Depot every single day because they don't have all the stuff they need. So
that's so true. I know. I can't count the number of times that we've had someone in our house and they're like, I have to run to Home Depot or Lowe's to grab whatever part, you know?
Exactly. But we feel like when we do it, it's like, bad? No.
Yeah. We're failing.
That's just, yeah, exactly.
I know. Just when you're speaking about that reminded me at our last house, we had like a bathroom sink that was backing up. Like every time we turned the water on, it would fill up within a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, well, let's call a plumber. And it was at a point where I was like sick and tired. I was just so sick and tired of our house and like scheduling appointments with plumbers and contractors. And I was like, I'm just going to YouTube and see if it's like super hard. And I realized it was not super hard. And I just had to like unscrew a couple things under the sink, make sure the water was off. And I was able to open it up and like get all the girl's hair out of the sink that somehow got in there. But it was like an empowering thing that when you are able to figure something out, I know that's not DIY, but.
No, like, it totally is, because I had the same thing in our first apartment. The garbage, the compactor, whatever's in the sink, garbage disposal. Yeah. It stopped working. You know, it hummed. And I was like, oh no. And this was like, you know, early on in our marriage. So I had very, 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 I had no plumbing skills. Yeah. But I was like, great. We're going to have to like call the manager and then they'll come in 3 days and blah, blah, blah. And then I just YouTubed it. And it was like, great. Turn this one thing. And I turned the one thing and it fixed. And I was like, oh, this is like opens up a whole new possibility of what you can learn. And I think a lot of people think that I get questions sometimes of where did you go to school to learn this? Who like, were you, apprenticed by? And I'm like, that's great if you want to go that route. Like that, obviously, you know, if you want to go be an actual electrician, yes, you probably need to go somewhere. Right. But a lot of stuff in your house, you can learn from these great professionals on YouTube, but also you can learn from just regular people who have figured it out. And yes. I also think sometimes DIYers explain things in more normal terms than some of the professionals on YouTube, right? Sometimes people are so knowledgeable that they forget how to explain things in a very basic way. I remember one of the first times I was trying to use the miter saw, which is just like very easy, very up and down. It's a very beginner basic tool that anyone can learn how to use, right? As long as you keep your hands like away from the blade, you're fine. Yeah. You'll be totally safe. And it was locked and I couldn't figure out how to get it unlocked.
Yeah.
And no, I couldn't Google how do I get it unlocked, because none of the YouTube videos were that basic. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
None of them brought themselves back to a part where they didn't know how to unlock a saw. And so I think that's what I try to show in my DIYs is like from the very, very, very start to the more intermediate and like getting towards advanced, because it all started at the beginner. And I think a lot of people assume that men grew up knowing how to use power tools, and some, maybe they did, maybe they had a grandfather that taught them how to, but it's not a knowledge we're born with. Everyone had to learn how to use a power tool. Everyone had to learn how to paint a room. It's not innate knowledge. And I think once you realize that, it's freeing, because anyone can learn anything, right? Like if you just put in the hours. So that's my philosophy.
Definitely. I know there was, I love following you on Instagram, because I remember there was one video specifically where you, instead of using like the tech, you introduced it as a technical term, but then you were like, it's the one that is shaped like a hexagon. And I was like, oh, that makes more sense to me than like the actual technical term.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a time and a place to learn the technical term, but like also you could just like describe it in a way that everyone could understand it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Okay. So I asked my audience if they had questions for you. And one of the most asked questions was, what was your favorite and least favorite DIY project?
Oh man, that is a hard question. No, my least favorite is always anything plumbing.
Yeah.
Plumbing. It's so, I like electrical because it either works or it doesn't. Okay. Like you either wired it right and ta-da, the lights are on. But plumbing, it's like, you know, you could get leaks. But like favorite big project. See, this is the problem. I love all of my projects.
I guess that's a good problem to have, right? With your work.
Because I think my favorite would have to be, because I love beautiful, but I also love functional, right? Because I have three kids and function is a huge, so it's probably the pantry that I made over. It used to be a laundry closet in our kitchen. And then I moved the laundry closet off the living room. And so I was able to turn the old laundry nook into a pantry, like a walk-in pantry. It's beautiful and functional. And it's like I think it probably wins for being my favorite project I've done.
Yeah, that might be my favorite project that you've done that I've seen too. It's just so pretty.
It just, and I was learning, though. It's so functional. Yeah. The kids can like get up and like pack their snack for school for the day. And then like, you know, pack and they can make breakfast. There's like a little mini fridge where they can get their milk. Like it's so functional. And I had a lot of people worried when I didn't put doors on it. They were worried it was going to be like a huge, like it was just going to get super messy because I am not naturally a very tidy person, but actually it has remained fairly picked up because everything has a place. Mm-hmm. And I think, and like my kitchen, I feel like the same way, everything has a place. And I'm trying to get to that level of, I don't know if it's organization, but it's also like, we're just, everything's is functional and everything has a home. Mm-hmm. And I'm not there for like my bedroom and my closet is just chaos. It's just complete chaos. And I feel like that's my goal this year is to work on like, okay, how can I make our house, our 1800 square foot house, work the best for the five of us?
Yeah.
And because, you know, we bought our house a couple years ago, so we have like a low mortgage rate, so we could never leave, right?
Yeah.
So like, okay, we are here for a good while.
Yeah.
What can we do to make this house the most functional and work the best for our family?
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think everything having a home is one of those crucial things to maintain a home that feels like it's functioning properly. And, you know, because a lot of people come to me and they'll be like, I feel like I pick up all the time. Like that's all I do when I'm home is pick up and the house still looks like a disaster. And most of the time that's because like decluttering hasn't happened to a ruthless enough level, number one. But then number two, no habit systems or routines have been put in place where it's like, okay, this is where the stuffies live. Like this is their home. They don't live in four different areas. You know, they're not just everything in the home has a home. And you can't do that if you have too many things.
If you have too many items. Exactly. Yeah. There's just, I heard someone once say that like, everybody knows where the forks are supposed to be.
Yeah.
Like there's no question. If you see a fork, you know where its home is. And I think that's my problem right now in my bedroom, especially because it's like my bedroom and my office and a random collection of like clothes that don't fit anymore. And like my husband's tuba from high school and like, you know, stuff that doesn't have a home. And it's just it like, and my like walking treadmill, like it all just... Yeah. It all compounds. And so that's my goal this year is to figure out, obviously I need to start with, you know, being more ruthless and decluttering. And because, there's at this point, everything cannot have a home because our house is not big enough.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the hard part is when there is a smaller space to work with, you do have to be extra ruthless. And it's kind of funny that you're saying that because I notice often it's guest rooms. Like people will use a guest room that serves as several functions. So it's like an office and a guest room and a workout room, which is fine. But the problem is then when someone brings something home and then they have to go put it away, they're like, well, I don't know where to put this. So it goes in I call it like the throwaway room because it's kind of like, people just put stuff in there if they don't know what to do with it. And then the next thing they know, it's like 4 feet high of stuff that they don't know where to go. So
That is totally us because, and I think it's hard because obviously, especially in a family, everybody has different philosophies on when stuff, what is it? Like my husband is the one who loves every box from every electronic he wants to keep, you know, whereas I'm like, we don't need that. But then I'll keep other random stuff in my garage. You can barely walk in because I want to keep every single little piece of wood and every single little, you know, like definitely, you know, having the family and different people having different opinions on what needs to go, what needs to stay and different levels of, you know, how picked up is picked up enough, you know? But like a thing we've implemented with our kids is that we do a 7 o'clock clean each night. Our Google comes on and says, it's 7 o'clock. It's time to clean. Everybody pick up for 10 minutes. Everyone picks up and at least the like living room, dining room, kitchen is like picked up every single night. And that has helped so much. I mean, my kids are older now. Now they're 10, 7, and 5. Because we lived through the chaos of the toddler years and just feeling like you're drowning in stuff, right? And just looking at it, be like, we have too many items in this house. Yeah. Our house cannot support this many items.
Right.
And so we've tried to be, you know, I think we've gotten better about being a little bit more ruthless and like, okay, these are the toys y'all actually play with. These are the ones we'll keep. We're not going to keep, you know, but we're definitely still not there. But are you ever there? Is there ever a goal, or is it always a journey?
That's a great question. And I think it's not to be a cop out, but I think it's both. Like, I think that you do get to, I know, disappointment.
That's terrible.
You get to a point where you, I think it ebbs and flows. Maybe that's a better answer. Mm-hmm. So, like in my program, we talk about like going into maintenance mode, basically, once you've gone through the entire home. And if you are able to, here's my barometer, basically. If I start to feel like it's taking too long for our PM pickup, that's like a strong indicator that we've let too many things back into the house. So I'll do like a full maintenance sweep of the whole home, which only takes about 2 hours, because once you like have done it, like you're really just going through and you kind of like built that muscle. So I think it's both. I think you can be at the place of being done, as long as you're having those habits and systems and routines, that because, you know, people live in the house. So
I think that's kind of why I went to DIY, I think, because once you remodel a kitchen, it's remodeled.
It's done.
You don't have to do it again. It's not like laundry or dishes that you have to do again and again every single day. It's probably, you know, undiagnosed ADHD. But like, I want to do a project and only do it one time.
Yeah,
I want to organize my closet and then it's just organized.
Forever.
I don't ever have to organize it again. But I think I need to get my brain more into the thing of, this is like a maintenance, like you have to keep, I guess it's getting the systems in place.
Yeah. And like the 7 p.m. pickup, like that's a perfect example of a great system to have. And the thing is that no matter what, you have to maintain your home, right? So like you have to do laundry either way, but what if you like have to do less laundry to maintain? Like that's a win for me. That's a win in my book. Okay. So one more question for you. If someone was just starting with DIY and they really wanted to get into it, but they were really nervous about it, like what is a good starter project, or does it depend on their specific home?
I love a good starter project. I think if you want to redo furniture from like Goodwill or a thrift store, or make over a dresser you already have, love that, because you can build some of the skills like that you'll need, like painting, sanding. If you want to add a new wood top, right, you could, you know, use a power saw, that kind of thing. I also love a good accent wall. The board and batten wall that I just recently did is such a great beginner project, because you could do it without power tools. You could do it with like a hand saw and like a miter box. You could totally do it without power tools. It's definitely easier if you have power tools. But so I would say an accent wall or a remakeover, a piece of furniture is a great place to start, and will have a huge, I guess an accent wall more, will have a huge impact on your space. Mm-hmm. Because you need that first project you do for it to be fairly quick to give you that boost of like, look what I just did. I just did an accent wall and look how good it looks.
Right.
So that'd probably be my recommendation for a first project.
Okay. I like that. We have a very, very bare powder room that I have thought about trying that in. And so I watched that video you have a couple of times, and I feel like
a powder room, you can go bolder because it's a small space. So like go like crazy with like wallpaper, or like painted a funky color, or like a rich color. I love a good powder room.
Yeah. I wanted to, what is it called? Batten board?
Board and batten.
Board and batten.
Technically, it's just battens. Technically, I'm using the wall as the board part.
Got it. Okay.
But if you Google board and batten, it's what will come up.
Okay. So I want to do that at like, you know, like the perimeter of it on the bottom, and paint it like a dark color, and then do like a really, like, this sounds kind of crazy, but like a really dark floral, and then do like gold. Like a gold faucet or something.
Wallpaper or something, the ceiling or something. Yes.
Yeah.
You go crazy. FaceTime me and we'll I'll walk you through it. That's so fun. And you have to make sure you take a before picture, because you forget how much it changes. And like, once you've done it, like you forget how much work it was to do it. It's kind of like childbirth, where like, you know, you forget how terrible it was in the, like, you know, in the crazy time.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh, look what's done now. Yeah. So Yeah, definitely take a before picture so that you can look at it afterwards and be like, I did this. I wanted to make this happen and I did it with my own two hands.
Right. I know. If I felt so empowered by unclogging a sink, I can only imagine with doing a whole bathroom. Yeah.
And you get to look at it every day. You don't have to do it again. It's done. You get to enjoy your whatever you did, your project. You get to enjoy it every day because it's done.
Right. Okay, actually, I have one more quick question because that reminds me. What are your thoughts or feelings about peel and stick wallpaper?
I've done both. I have peel and stick wallpaper in my son's room, and then I did regular wallpaper in my girl's room. I think they're both great for different places. Obviously, renters do peel and stick, right? It was harder to match up the seams on peel and stick.
Okay.
So it would probably be easier for just one wall.
Okay.
So like just a one accent wall, like, you know, behind your bed or, you know, something like that, just one wall or a small space, like a powder room, like a top half of a powder room. I think you could get away with doing peel and stick. The traditional one with the glue, you can kind of smush it and kind of like get it closer so that all the seams match up perfectly. So, but it obviously was messier because you have to like roll the glue and such. So each one works. And if you don't like one, you might like the other better. So it's not like if you do one and you hate it. It's not like, I'm never doing wallpaper. You just be like, oh, maybe I'll try the other one this time.
But just personal preference.
Exactly. Yeah. But each one works and they both look good. And I haven't seen, I mean, now they have such good peel and stick wallpaper too, that like it's going to last a while. And a lot of the renter friendly ones don't even leave a residue. Like it's such a great, I did one on one of our apartments. I like did it on the kitchen cabinets because the cabinets were so ugly.
Yeah.
And so I did peel and stick wallpaper on those and it worked great. It was a great option.
Okay, cool. Well, maybe I'll try that then. I feel like that feels a little less intimidating to start.
It totally is. And you can you could get it at Target, you know, like you could just walk up and, because sometimes you have to order it from a website and it's like $700 worth of wallpaper. Gosh. Whereas like Target, you'd be like, let's try $30 worth, right? Let's see what I could do for $30. It's definitely less intimidating to like dip your toe in, but it is a little trickier to try to get the seams to match up, but you're probably the only one looking at your seams super carefully too. So, you know, give yourself some grace.
Maybe I'll start it in like the girl's closet or something.
What's that? Oh, I love a good wallpapered closet.
Yeah. So yeah. Cute. Okay. I'll do that. I'll send you a message when I decide to have the courage. Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I had so much fun. And if you're listening to this and you have any questions for Delancey, can you give us how people can find you?
Yeah, I'm on all the things as Delancey DIY. So come find me.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thanks for hanging out and listening to the Decluttered Mom Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, it would mean the world if you could write a review or share this episode with a friend or your Instagram stories. And if you're on Instagram, be sure to follow me at the.decluttered.mom and send me a DM to say hi. I'd love to hear what you thought about today's episode. I hope you'll come back next week and hang out with us again.